It's pretty hard to find something more heartwarming than the sound of children singing. But these kids have been through the trauma of having been driven from their homes by conflict and turmoil in Iraq. Bishop William Kenny has just returned from Erbil, having travelled there at the invitation of Aid to the Church in Need, to see just what the Catholic Church is doing to help the refugees. In this interview for our Catholic News podcasts, I started by asking Bishop Kenny about the conditions that he found in the camps.
It is traumatic. It is always when you see people that suffering as much as any group of refugees does. I've been in many refugee camps in my life, and you never really get used to the suffering of the human beings that are involved. These, the standard of them was exceptionally good, particularly considering they've only had about 9 months or a year to found them. We were in ones which were extremely good, where the church is hiring empty flats and houses to house people. There are an awful lot of people in what they call in caravans. They're basically converted containers, also often of a good standard. One or two then that were not so good, much more like some of the other bad ones I've seen in my life. But again, I thought the situation was exceptional. The big problem that they are facing is severe overcrowding. For instance, in the flats, which were excellent in their standard of building, hygiene, this sort of thing, but a flat that is meant for one family, in all of them there are three families living. They try to put families together who have some relationship with each other, but even so, overcrowding is the major problem, and we are beginning already to see the effects of that.
Now, obviously, there's the humanitarian side, but I guess I have to ask the question, is there a sort of fear of the advance of Daesh, ISIL, as it's known?
There is a fear, but at the moment there is a feeling that they're not coming in that direction. As we know, today's news is that in Anbar province, that's 400-500 kilometres to the south of where I was, so it's not in close proximity. Also, the efforts that Daesh, ISIL made to come further north towards Kurdistan, the Peshmerga army did repel them. There is a front line. We met some of the soldiers in actual fact, at where we stopped for a cup of tea, and they'd stopped because they were on their way to the front line. They do 15 days there and 15 days at home. And so we were talking to them. But at the moment, it is reasonably calm.
Now, off mic, you were telling me that actually, which is very positive, we can see where those that might donate to Aid to the Church in Need, where that money goes, and it looks positive, doesn't it?
It looks very positive indeed. As I've already said, I was amazed at the advances that have been made in so short a time. It's unusual for people with refugees and with all the problems any refugee brings with him or herself to have made this sort of progress which has been made there. As I said, there were some exceptions. That's normal. So that the money is most definitely being well used, both for the humanitarian side and also for the spiritual side. All of the camps, the bigger ones we were in, had their own chapels. There were priests available, and also very frequently sisters, particularly the Dominican sisters there, were doing excellent work. And so it is the humanitarian crisis, but the church is also trying to make sure that that doesn't change as well into a spiritual crisis.
Now, we've talked about various visits you've made to places like South Sudan and other places, and without being patronising, we do sometimes get, I'd imagine I'd be very desperate as a person in those circumstances, but you do get hope, don't you, amongst these people?
Most definitely. Human beings never cease to surprise me. They have an enormous resilience. The human beings that don't succeed are those who are either on their own, have no family, although in the sort of society that is Iraq, even those people, someone seems to take care of them and to take them in and to look after them. We met some very old people whose families had died. They were so old, people in their 90s, but someone was taking care of them and looking after them and seeing that they were all right. That is definitely part of it. But we are talking about societies, thank God, where they still hold together in clans, if you want, or tribes, and definitely as families. So that is an enormous help. They have each other. But many are traumatized, and there's help being given for that too. And also, in one place, they told us the first couple of months, they said, were awful. They were trying to deal with the children. And the children, they said, you never got a laugh, you never got a smile, you never got, it was just heavy going. And then suddenly they broke through. And the children began to be like normal children again. Some of them still need help, psychological help, which, as I say, is there. But they said that when that happened, it also then changed the parents. And the parents began to look for work and began, instead of having to be told to do everything, began spontaneously to keep the camp clean, to do things like this. And so that was one way they've discovered, purely by chance maybe, that to help these people to become again the families that they want to be and should be.
And in terms of solidarity with those of other faiths, I know obviously you were there to focus primarily on the Christian communities, but obviously we've seen stories of the persecution of Yazidis and other minorities, and in fact other Muslims as well.
Yes, and the church is taking care of quite a number of Yazidi families. We were in one camp, not a very good one, I have to admit, where it was only Yazidis in it. In many of the other camps, there were Yazidi families, and they are treated exactly the same as the Christian families who are there. There are also some Muslim families, but of course the Muslim families have tended to turn to Muslim organisations, the same as our families have tended to turn to Christian organisations. And I think you see with the way the Muslims and the Christians have managed some of this crisis that it is an enormous advantage to belong to this big international family of sisters and brothers. You see it then in comparison with the Yazidis, who have nobody to turn to. There is no international group of Yazidis that can help them. And so we are helping them, and I didn't see any of it, but I presume Muslims organisations are as well. I have no reason to believe they're not.
Bishop William, what does it do to you as a person when you look upon the suffering, even when the camps are in relatively good condition? There must be those that are totally destitute.
What it does to me, as many people know, I've been involved in this work now for something like 40 years. I've been in many refugee camps. I've done development work for Caritas, and so I've seen much of this. I occasionally get dreams at night. If we can just leave the subject of this, one of them I had. Caritas was one of the first people that discovered the situation of the children's homes in Romania. And I can still wake up at night, just occasionally, and I've got the smell. And it's the smell of dirt and urine and vomit. And it comes back to you, and you remember then the pictures of what was going on there. Not the worst situation I've ever seen in my life, but a very bad one. So those sort of things stay with you. Whether it affects me as a person, you're going to ask my friends about that. I'm not prepared to say how I feel it. But you don't forget, on another level, you know that if you get too emotionally involved, then you're not there for the next person who needs your help.
Well, talking about being there for the next person, for the people out there, you mentioned the religious sisters working out there. How about sort of flipping that and looking at the church in England and Wales? Obviously, Cardinal Vincent, not so long ago, was in, well, what would it be? It would only be some
6 weeks, two months.
Indeed. So how can we build on both his visit and your visit, and what should we be doing as a Catholic community over here?
I think one thing we should be doing is that the situation doesn't disappear from our parishes and our organisations. That means praying for these people regularly, not just when something comes up. And that I would put as the first thing. And also, quite interestingly, that's the first thing they asked for, was that we would pray for them. And they said that they promised to pray for us. The second thing is, I think we can do as a church, is to keep this on the public agenda, that we remind our politicians of this situation and other authorities about this. Thirdly, that we support the campaigns that are going on, run by ACN and by CAFOD, again, to financially support this work. It is costing, of course, many millions a year to keep these people. When they can get work, when they can establish themselves, these people are very willing to help themselves. This is not a group of people who are looking to be living on other people. They don't like it even that they're having to be helped in this way. The other thing is, I think that we need then on a more political level to be moving to see what we can do to enable that these situations don't arise. I can be horrified at times, not least even at the moment, of the short-termism of many of the policies which our government pursues. They treat symptoms and are not willing to treat causes. Here we see what happens when you only treat symptoms, as we did in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and don't treat causes.
Well, let's certainly hope there are lessons learnt there. Bishop William Kenny, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Not at all. Bishop William is an auxiliary bishop of Birmingham, had just been out in Iraq for around about a week, wasn't it?
We were there 5 days.
5 days. Thanks ever so much. Now, if you want to support Aid to the Church in Need, we'll pop a link up on our website with this podcast so you can go through there and read about their excellent work. If you want to listen to more of our podcasts, catholicnews.org.uk, and we'll return with another podcast very soon.